Lord, should we pray together? Father God, would you come by your Holy Spirit? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you turn us towards you? Would you help us to live in the love and light of your resurrection? Amen. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is David Newton, and I'm one of the curates here in the Ely team. Most of my Sunday mornings, I'm elsewhere. I'm at St. Leonard's in Little Downham, but once in a while, I get the privilege of being with you here at St. Mary's. I was feeling a bit greedy for the Bible this morning and fancied just one more reading. I hope you can put up with that. Just one more reading. It's the final set reading for today as we continue to celebrate and think about the risen Lord. And it comes from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 14. It comes from Peter's great sermon, his first sermon after Pentecost. So then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are in a dank, dark cave. You can't see very much. You're kind of touching and seeing what's in front of you. You're feeling a slimy, cavey surface. You're probably a bit afraid. You can't quite work out how you might get out, let alone how you got there in the first place. The walls seem to go on for endlessly. You're getting horrible drips on your head. You hear a few signs of scurrying spiders or the sound of bats above your head. And then there is a great explosion. A great explosion. You're not harmed. You open your eyes, having heard this bang and this flash of light. Rock is strewn everywhere. And you find yourself no longer in a cave. You still see the pieces of the cave just scattered around the country. But you wake up in a more luscious land. Pieces of grass are starting to poke through. You see flowers coming. First signs of life, daffodils perhaps. You see a spring dripping down by the side, a river beginning to form. You see the sun in the sky as the clouds break and the sun starts to shine on you and all that's around. You kind of can't quite take it in. You're probably a bit disorientated and you start to explore. You look at one little bit, another little bit. You say, what's this? What's this all about? I want to suggest that kind of picture is a little bit like the resurrection, a little bit like how the disciples would have felt after the resurrection. This world-changing event, this explosion of light and life. The disciples kind of wake up disorientated, a little bit confused, new signs of life to replace this dank, dark cave, if you like, this room that they're enclosed in, this room of fear that they are sitting in. And then, bang, Jesus appears, light and life, total disorientation. As they see signs of new life, daffodils, a spring start to form, the clouds part and the sunshine comes through. Tonight, to this morning, I want us to think a little bit about what does the resurrection mean? We kind of wake up from this cave. We start to explore. What's the meaning of it all? This event has happened. This explosion has taken place. What on earth does it mean? And I want us to kind of explore this new territory, these little daffodils, this new spring, the sun breaking through. What does it mean that Christ is risen from the dead? And our readings, I think, start to unpack that a little bit. So four things for us this morning that I think we begin to see in these readings. Many others we could talk about as well. Firstly, and really simply, the resurrection means that we are a people with good news to share. We are a people with good news to share. So we wake up from this explosion and suddenly we have a story to tell. Hey, I was in this dark, dank, moldy cave. I was terrified. There were bats above my head and spiders on my shoulder. And there was an explosion of light and life. And suddenly I awoke and I saw daffodils growing up here and light coming through the clouds. We have a story to tell. Jesus Christ was dead and now is risen. And actually, it's really important that we have a good news story to tell. In a world that's full of such bad, depressing news, we turn on the telly, we listen to the radio, and it's all pretty bad, sad news. Instead, we have a different story. Hey, have you heard the news? Have you heard the good news? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Hey, you heard the good news? This explosion of light and life has just taken place. There isn't any good news at all, really, without the resurrection. Without the resurrection, all you're left with is a bunch of disciples in the upper room, scared out of their wits, behind locked doors. All you're left with is a dark, dank cave. All you're left with is the death of God hung on a tree. You're left with nothing. But with the resurrection, suddenly we have good news to share. So, first of all, really simply, the resurrection means we have good news to share. Secondly, it means that we don't need to worry about our own doubts and fears and insecurities and questions around matters of faith and Christianity and God. Thomas is our great example here. Thomas turns after the disciples and says, "Well, I don't believe it. I don't believe you at all. Unless I see and touch his hands, I'm not going to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead." Has to be like us waking up from this disorientating explosion and being like, is this a dream? Is this real? Like, can this actually be true? Or am I still actually in this dark cave? Am I just dreaming? The point is, that whether we ask those questions, whether Thomas had his questions, they make absolutely no difference to the concrete reality that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I think we sometimes think that our kind of faith and our belief, it acts a little bit like a kind of a genie thing. If we don't believe it, it won't be true. We've got to hold on to it really, really tight, because if we ask a question of it, it'll just evaporate. But of course, Jesus Christ is true whether we have questions or whether we don't, whether we have doubts every day or whether we don't. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. God came into history and acted. He acted despite the fact that the disciples were living in fear, locked behind doors in the upper room. He acted despite the fact that Thomas didn't believe a word of it. He acted despite the fact that none of them thought this could happen, despite the fact that they were all about to go back to their everyday fishing lives. He acted anyway. He acted in our world. So we shouldn't say, "Oh, if only I'd prayed more, if only I'd believed more." God acts. God comes into history with us or without us. Despite our questions, our doubts and our fears, God just acts. And I guess the other wonderful thing about Thomas is that Jesus doesn't seem to be particularly angry at him. He gives him what he asks for. He turns up again. He didn't have to. He turns up again and he says, "Touch, see, I really am here. I really am here." He says, "It's okay that you didn't believe. It's all right. It's all right to have questions. Don't worry about it. We can bring our questions and our doubts and confusions to God, and that's okay. Because in the resurrection, we know that God has simply acted without us, unilaterally, come down for us." So the resurrection means we have good news to share. It means that our questions and doubts are okay. God can deal with them. Perhaps we then begin to explore a little bit more, look at the beautiful daffodils and think, what is all this about? What does this mean? What does it mean that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? One other thing I think it means is this, that new beginnings are always possible. That new beginnings are always possible. And this is, in a sense, old hat. You know, this is the gospel. But this is what we should just remind ourselves of, day in, day out. I love the reading from Acts 2, which is why I wanted to add it in. Because you have in Acts 2 this wonderful story where Peter says, "You guys, you crucified Jesus the Messiah. And he's come back." And we might then expect the next sentence to be, "And he's going to get his own back. He's going to get you. He's going to seek revenge. Because he's come back." But that's not what we hear at all. That's not what we have. Instead, Jesus Christ, who you crucified, has come back from the dead and welcomes you in to this new community, forgives your sins, enables you to have a new beginning. You might well know that famous sermon by Peter ends with a call to baptism. You crucified God. He rose from the dead, and now come and have a new beginning. Come and be baptized. Come and start again. Come and be washed clean. There are new beginnings made possible by the resurrection, even for the worst of sinners. For the gang member who maybe we think of David Wilkinson's wonderful book, The Cross and the Switchblade, where it talks about his gang member called Nicky Cruz, who the vilest offender in many ways, meets the risen Christ and has a new beginning. Or maybe you've heard of the work of Brother Andrew with a charity called Open Doors, who now works with terrorists in the Middle East and tells them about Jesus Christ and gives them a new start, a new beginning. Or maybe we think of prison chaplains in our prisons across this land who work with those prisoners who even all the other prisoners hate, those sex offenders, and says Jesus Christ offers you a new start, a new beginning. It's offensive. It is offensive. But that the gospel is offensive. It turns people away. How can it be that these people are given a new start? But they are, and we are too. We might not have such a dramatic story to tell as that, but we must realize that we are amongst the crowds that said, "Crucify, crucify." We must realize that when Peter says, "You crucified him," that he means us as well, and that he gives each one of us a new start, a new beginning. As we then continue to wander around this new landscape, these new horizons that have been opened up through this explosion of life, and we think, what else do we see? What else is true? What else has been revealed because of the resurrection? And I just want to suggest one final thing, and that's that we begin to see a little flower coming up here, a sign of life here. We begin to see hope. We begin to see hope. Our reading from 1 Peter was all about hope. You've been given new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that will not perish or fade. New birth into a living hope. The resurrection is all about hope in the midst of a very dark world. We look around and we might despair. Everywhere we might think evil seems to be triumphing. We see a world at war, we see conflict, we see famine taking grip across parts of Africa and the Middle East. We hear stories of abuse close at home or further afield. We hear of the injustices of our society where the rich are getting richer and the poorer are getting increasingly poorer. Everywhere we see it looks like evil is triumphing. That's exactly what the people of the Bible saw. And they, like us, asked the question, "God, how can this be? How can it be that evil triumphs?" And the answer comes loud and clear in the Bible, and particularly in the resurrection. It doesn't, and it won't. It doesn't, and it won't. Because the world, through all the evil it had, all the violence it could muster at God, and it killed him. It took him right to the cross. At that moment, it looks like violence wins. It looks like evil triumphs. It looks like darkness has won the day. It looks like we're never getting out of that cave. But then 3 days later, he rose again. He rose again. And that is the story of hope, that evil does not triumph, that violence does not win, that the most powerful force in the universe is not violence, but God who brings life out of death, God who raises the dead. Hope, signs of life, little flowers budding up, hope in the midst of pain and suffering, hope in the midst of death. True for us in our personal stories and situations, and true for us as we look at the wider world. Hope amidst darkness and despair and difficulty and suffering. Hope that this is not the end. Because if you like, the resurrection is the end of the story in the middle. It's the end of the story put right in the middle. The resurrection shows us how the story ends. With life and love and peace, the new creation. And that's plonked right in the midst of our pain and our suffering and our darkness to say, this is how it ends. You can have hope that in the end, God wins, not violence, not evil. So my prayer for us this morning is that we will continue forever to explore this new world, that this explosion of life has opened up for us, that we will forever be looking at the things the resurrection has opened up, forever asking us, what does it mean that Christ is risen from the dead? How does it impact us? Forever celebrating it, forever exploring those daffodils, those signs of life, forever being at wonder of that great story. He is risen. Alleluia. Amen.